buddy. You got one. Dinner. Oh, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
Truth isn't truth.
I never worked for Russia.
I especially want to invite all of you to thank Senator Lindsey Graham for leading this delegation. And to them and all of you, I bring greetings from a great champion of freedom and a strong national defense who has worked with these members of Congress to strengthen America's military might and to strengthen the leadership of the free world. I bring greetings from the 45th President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump.
Oh my God.
Oh, yikes.
So they clap for Lindsey, and then literally he waits. He rolls it out like this is supposed to be for a.
Well, you know why?
Applause.
Because the prompter says wait for applause.
Please clap.
I'm here to declare a very urgent, important national emergency. This is a big one, so I don't want to waste any time.
Your attention, please. The following emergency bulletin may affect your area. Listen carefully.
Well, Saturday Night Live apparently getting under President Trump's skin this weekend. President Trump tweeted, "How do the networks get away with these total Republican hit jobs without retribution? Very unfair and should be looked into. This is the real collusion." That tweet came after this sketch.
So I'm going to sign these papers for emergency, and then I'll immediately be sued, and the ruling will not go in my favor, and then I'll end up in the Supreme Court, and then I'll call my buddy Kavanaugh, and I'll say it's time to repay the Donnie, and he'll say, new phone, who dis? But then the Mueller report will be released, crumbling my house of cards, and I can just plead insanity and do a few months in the puzzle factory. And my personal hell of playing president will finally be over.
This emergency warning message has been broadcast for your safety. Take all necessary precautions and listen to any local radio, television, or cable outlet for further updates. Do not use your telephone for the duration of this emergency.
Lawmakers have reached a deal to avoid another government shutdown, but President Trump says he's not happy with it.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers today delivered their border compromise plan to the president. Now, there was some question whether he'd actually sign it because the deal offered Trump less than a quarter of the $5.7 billion he wanted for barriers along the U.S.-Mexico border. He does get 55 miles of fencing along the border, but not walls. Based on new steel or concrete prototypes Mr. Trump has promoted.
There's one thing we've learned about Donald Trump in the 2 years he's been president, it's that you can't negotiate with him, which is ironic considering that was his whole thing he was supposed to be, a great deal maker who could bring everyone together. Although even during the campaign, there were hints that he didn't really know what he was talking about.
With Congress, you have to get everybody in a room, and you have to get them to agree. But you have to get them to agree what you want, and that's part of being a dealmaker. You have to get people in, grab them, hug them, kiss them, and get the deal done. But it's got to be the deal that you want.
What are you talking about? I mean, we all know you didn't write The Art of the Deal, but did you not even read it? I mean, I'm just imagining Trump chasing Chuck Schumer around the Oval Office trying to hug him. Come here, Chuck. We gotta make a deal, Chuck. Also, what you're describing is not a deal. What you're describing is a Benny Hill sketch. This keeps happening. For 2 years, Trump has said in public that he wants to make a deal, but then in reality, he has neither the ability to negotiate nor the interest. For example, you might remember that after Trump unilaterally subjected the country to the longest government shutdown in history, forcing workers to go without paychecks, he claimed the one thing he had gotten in his deal with the Democrats was an agreement to negotiate over the wall. Although, as usual, he was very hung up on what words we should use to describe the wall.
I have seen and heard from enough Democrats and Republicans that they are willing to put partisanship aside. They have said they are for complete border security, and they have finally and fully acknowledged that having barriers, fences, or walls, or whatever you want to call it.
How can you negotiate for something when you don't even know what it is?
Call it whatever you want. Barriers, fencing, fortifications, enclosures, parapets.
So that was Trump's big announcement after the shutdown that lawmakers from both sides would get together and come up with a deal that would avoid another government shutdown by the end of the week. So how's that going? Well, on Monday night, Trump was asked for an update on the negotiations during an interview on Fox News and said he wasn't following the negotiations because he was spending his time doing interviews on Fox News.
Mr. President, word broke late today, early this evening, that there might be some tentative deal struck to avert a government shutdown. What can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you that a lot of things have changed, and we'll see what happens. I can't go into the exact deal. I just heard it very quickly coming over to see you. It was between the deal and you, and I had to choose you.
He literally said, I had a choice between running the government and going on Fox News, and I chose Fox News. No quote has ever summed up Trump's presidency better than that. So Trump made a big show championing the bipartisan talks after he caved in the shutdown fight. And now he says he's not even paying attention to them, which might explain why, when he found out that the deal didn't have any money for a concrete border wall yesterday, he said he wasn't happy with it. Although he didn't even really seem to know what he wanted or what he was upset about.
Sir, will you sign Congress's border deal?
I have to study it. I'm not happy about it. It's not doing the trick. But I'm adding things to it, and when you add whatever I have to add, it's all gonna happen.
He claims he can get all the money he wants for his wall if he just declared a national emergency. That, of course, would be insane. It would be usurping Congress's power. There would be immediate court challenges. Many in his own party have said it would set a terrible precedent of unconstitutional overreach by the executive branch. So I seriously, Mitch McConnell?
I've just had an opportunity to speak with President Trump, and he, I would say to all my colleagues, has indicated he's prepared to sign the bill. He will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time.
And you can tell by the tone of my voice and the urgency with which I'm informing you that this is a true national emergency. In a related matter, I see that the Senate chamber is on fire and filled with scorpions. Everybody run. Run for your lives. Now,
Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi was none too pleased. She had a warning for the future.
I know the Republicans have some unease about it, no matter what they say, because if the president can declare an emergency on something that he has created as an emergency, an illusion that he wants to convey, just think of what a president with different values can present to the American people.
Yes, according to Trump, the border suddenly constitutes a national emergency, or as he might spell it in a tweet, the border constitutes a national emergency. And to be clear, there is zero actual emergency at the border right now. Illegal crossings have been declining for 20 years. A wall would be expensive and completely ineffective. But putting those aside, declaring a national emergency is a big step. Emergency declarations are meant to temporarily enhance the president's power during a legitimate crisis. So, Trump needed to sell this as a real emergency. And yet, within minutes of declaring it, he said this.
I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this. But I'd rather do it much faster.
Well, it's not an emergency then, is it? And as if that weren't bad enough, he then responded to this newly declared emergency by just hours later flying off to Florida for the weekend, where he's apparently been photographed waiting at an omelette bar. You know, the kind of thing you do when America is in crisis. Now, unsurprisingly, there were legal challenges filed almost instantly, which shocked nobody.
Trump clearly thinks that Mexicans coming over the border is a national emergency. And so in response, America has to build a wall, which is a very gradual response to an emergency. It's like, sir, they're invading. Should we mobilize our tanks and call in airstrikes? No, no, no. Bring me your finest bricklayers. In 3 to 5 years, they'll regret invading us.
Answer my question. Can you name one case where a president has asked Congress for money, Congress has refused, and the president has then invoked national powers to get the money anyway?
Well, this current situation...
Just yes or no, sir.
The current situation pertains specifically to the military construction authority.
I'm just asking, has there been a single case
broader
where Congress asked for money for military construction, Congress said no, and
The meaning of the statute, Chris, is clear on its own terms. If you don't like the statute, or members of Congress don't like the statute...
Would you agree the answer is no? There hasn't been a single case like this.
As you recall, this emergency started right after Trump did not get funding for his border wall from Mexico. Then we had a midterm election where people didn't want the border wall. Then the new Congress wouldn't give him money for the thing the voters didn't want, so he shut down the government to get the money for the thing that no one was asking for. Everyone was mad at him, so he declared victory and emergency at the same time. He talked about so many things that weren't the thing he was talking about. He talked about trade with China, immigrant caravans, Brexit, executing drug dealers. He talked about the troops, how our economy can beat up any other economy, how he's taller than any other president except Lincoln, and a lot of people are saying Lincoln wasn't really that tall, it was mostly hat. How Rush Limbaugh can speak for 3 hours straight, how beautiful the chairs in the Oval Office are, how he should cancel the Mueller investigation and use that money for factories that, quote, make good pants. I only made a couple of those up, and you don't know which ones.
The wall is very, very on its way. It's happening as we speak, and it's a big wall. It's a strong wall. It's a wall that people aren't going through very easy. They're going to have to be in extremely good shape to get over this one. They would be able to climb Mount Everest a lot easier.
I don't know what the...
Whoa.
Mount Everest? What the hell is he talking about?
Wow.
Is he going to build the wall straight up? I don't...
You're going to need oxygen. You're going to need oxygen.
Let's cut to the chase, folks. We need wall, okay? We have a tremendous amount of drugs flowing into this country. From the southern border, or the brown line, as many people have asked me not to call it. That's why we need wall, because wall works. Wall makes safe. You don't have to be smart to understand that. In fact, it's even easier to understand if you're not that smart. So you can all see why I gotta fake this national emergency, right? I have to because I want to. It's really simple. We have a problem. Drugs are coming into this country through no wall. I asked President Xi if they had a drug problem in China. And I'm not gonna do the voice, but he said, no, 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 me no like drugs, me like death penalty. You know what, it sounds better with the voice, I think, I must say. But imagine if we use the death penalty for nonviolent crimes here. You shoplift, bing, bing, two in the back of the head, okay? Just something to kick around. So, I'm basically taking military money so I can has wall.
Numbers from your own border patrol say that illegal immigration is actually down.
No, sit down. I don't like that question. Sit down. Sit down.
I didn't even ask my question yet.
Look, I just found out my campaign manager is going to die in prison, okay? Sit down.
Mr. President, didn't you say Mexico would pay for the wall?
I said Mexico will pay for the wall in the future, not the present. And everyone knows the future comes after the present as opposed to the past, which is before the present. And we can't go back to the past. We can only go back to the future, which I learned from that documentary about Bernie Sanders.
We need major immigration reform, translation, wall. Do you know that right now we have something called chain migration that says any bad person or gang monster or Weisenheimer can just come in this country with 23, 47, or bar, give me a number.
91?
91. I'm told as many as 91 of their family members. I'm talking abuelas and bebes. Unless you give me wall. Now, if that doesn't scare the crap out of all the old white people, I don't know what will. Anyway, in conclusion, this is a total emergency, a 5-alarm blaze, which means I gotta go to Mar-a-Lago so I can play some golf.
And then Mueller's going to release his report, then Congress will start impeachment proceedings, then I'll suddenly resign to get the heat off, then I'll be indicted by the Southern District of New York for years of committing financial fraud, then I'll make Lindsey Graham hide me in the trunk of his Nissan, then I'll try to fly to Moscow in my private jet, but the pilot won't want to be an accomplice, so I'll try to fly the plane myself, but I'll hit too many buttons and plow it into a nearby 7-Eleven. Then I'll be embarrassing photos of me trying to salvage hot dogs from the rubble.
I'll make great deals and we'll get them done. And we don't have to use executive orders and all this stuff that Obama's using. We're not going to be opening our borders or closing our borders based on executive orders.
You get them in a room and you make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly he has not been able to do that. And now he has to use executive action. And this is a very, very dangerous thing.
The whole concept of executive order, it's not the way the country's supposed to be run. You're supposed to go through Congress and make a deal and go and talk to people and get the guys in there. And you know, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you're supposed to all get together.
So there you have it. Once again, President Trump is full of He criticized Obama for the thing he's doing now. But you'll thank Trump when the national emergency is over in 3 to 5 years, provided the drug dealers don't figure out how to build tunnels or know I'm stuck again.
Yesterday, Trump tried to argue that the wall was already being built, which is not true. And he even claimed he was making old sections of the wall look beautiful by repainting them.
We're getting a beautiful looking structure because it was crazy what they were putting up. In fact, I happen to think that the walls that they were building were so unattractive and so ugly that walls got bad names, okay, if that means anything.
No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean anything to us. Walls didn't have bad names. Walls had no names. Before you showed up, we never talked about walls at all. And we certainly never chanted about them. Trump then continued to insist that the wall was being built while simultaneously complaining that he was mad that Congress wasn't giving him money to build the wall. And it was impossible to follow. See if you understand what he is talking about here.
I can tell you that, am I happy at first glance? I just got to see it. The answer is no, I'm not. I'm not happy. But am I happy with where we're going? I'm thrilled because we're supplementing things and moving things around and we're doing things that are fantastic.
In the span of 20 seconds, he went from saying he was not happy to saying he was thrilled to saying he was doing things that are fantastic. If we just let him keep talking, he'll say he's building the wall, he built the wall, everyone loves the wall, and he's moving to the southern border to live in a one-bedroom apartment with his best friend, the wall. We're going to film it for a TV show and call it Wall and Grace.
We will have a national emergency, and we will then be sued, and they will sue us in the Ninth Circuit, even though it shouldn't be there, and we will possibly get a bad ruling, and then we'll get another bad ruling, and then we'll end up in the Supreme Court, and hopefully we'll get a fair shake, and we'll win in the Supreme Court. Just like the ban, they sued us in the Ninth Circuit, and we lost, and then we lost in the appellate division, and then we went to the Supreme Court, and we won.
Now he's just lying and saying the wall is already getting built. In fact, he even said recently that his supporters should start chanting, finish the wall, rather than build the wall. But judging from his rally in Texas on Monday, his supporters didn't exactly hear the news.
We're building the wall. A lot of it is, I mean, the chant now should be finish the wall as opposed to build the wall, because we're building a lot of wall.
Build the wall! Build the wall! Build the wall! Build the wall!
Even your supporters know that you haven't started the wall. Because they know if you had, Fox News would have a camera pointed at it 24/7, and the foreman on the job would be the fourth Fox and Friend.
You really mean finish that wall, because we built a lot of them. Finish that wall.
Trump sold his voters an obvious lie that he had no intention of keeping, and now he's concocting more lies to justify the original lie. He's never going to get his wall. He doesn't even have a plan for getting his wall. If you asked him to describe his plan, he'd say,
"You know what the plan is? This is the plan.
This is a red alert. Please remain calm. Every precaution will be taken for your protection. Keep your radio tuned to this place on the dial throughout the alert period for information. Telephone service to your home may be cut off to permit military and civil defense authorities to carry out vital operations. Take shelter in your basement or in your nearest shelter area. If you can plug in your radio in the basement, take it with you. Use a portable radio set if you have one. Otherwise, turn up the volume of your radio so that you can hear it in the basement. Keep calm. Don't lose your head. This station will continue to stay on the air throughout the alert period to bring you authentic information and official instructions. Refuse to listen to unauthorized rumors or broadcasts. This is your official broadcast."
The man who first opened investigations of the president, which would later become the Mueller probe, is now speaking out for the first time, revealing just how alarmed senior Justice Department officials have been by the president's disturbing and potentially criminal conduct. Former acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, the president's abrupt firing of James Comey in May 2017, after having pressured him over the Russia probe, set off a week-long crisis inside the Justice Department. McCabe telling 60 Minutes senior officials were so concerned about the president's basic fitness for office that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, a longtime Republican personally appointed by Trump, raised the possibility of trying to remove the president under the 25th Amendment.
"The deputy attorney general was definitely very concerned about the president, about his capacity, and about his intent at that point in time. He was discussing other cabinet members and whether or not people would support such an idea, whether or not other cabinet members would shared his belief that the president was really concerning, was concerning Rod at that time."
Rosenstein was actually openly talking about whether there was a majority of the cabinet who would vote to remove the president.
That's correct. Counting votes. Or possible votes.
McCabe also confirmed previous reports that Rosenstein had offered to wear a wire into the Oval Office to collect evidence on the president, telling 60 Minutes the idea was never pursued. McCabe told a previously undisclosed story about the president's trust in Vladimir Putin, one relayed to him by an FBI official after a meeting at the White House.
"Essentially, the president said he did not believe that the North Koreans had the capability to hit us here with ballistic missiles in the United States. And he did not believe that because President Putin had told him they did not."
And U.S. intelligence was telling the president what?
"Intelligence officials in the briefing responded that that was not consistent with any of the intelligence our government possesses. To which the president replied, 'I don't care. I believe Putin.'"
According to McCabe, that comment, which echoes many others the president made in public, was part of a pattern of dubious behavior which prompted the FBI to start investigating the sitting president of the United States.
"All those same sorts of facts cause us to wonder, is there an inappropriate relationship, a connection between this president and our most fearsome enemy, the government of Russia?"
In almost 2 years since that time, the president, his allies in Congress, and the media have done all they can to discredit McCabe and any other career official known to have played a role in the investigation. Now, McCabe is promoting a new book, and he was fired last year after the Justice Department's internal watchdog criticized his lack of candor under oath. But the thing is that we don't have to just take McCabe's word for it. McCabe's account of the president's behavior and the alarm bells it set off among the people around him looks a lot like the one James Comey gave in sworn testimony in his book. It looks a lot like the account of the senior administration official who wrote an anonymous op-ed in the New York Times, basically warning the country the man that person worked for was completely unfit for the office. It looks a lot like the reports that we read every single day in the paper filled with blind quotes from people who work in close proximity to the president. Meanwhile, 2 years since the events McCabe described, the president's still in office, and if anything, he's only gotten more volatile.
According to McCabe, after Comey was fired and people in the media complained, Trump called him to try to change the narrative, and he did it on a phone that was not secure, saying, "People are really happy about the fact that the director's gone, and it's just remarkable what people are saying. Have you seen that? Are you seeing that, too?" Evidently, the phone line wasn't the only thing that was insecure. A lot of people, no, I tell you, a lot. Hello, hi, hello, hello. Andrew, yeah, a lot of people are saying this is not obstruction of justice. Are you hearing that, too? Because I'm seeing a list of people I'm going to fire as acting directors of the FBI. There's only one name. Are you seeing this list, too?
This seems to me to be the off-ramp for anybody in the right-wing propaganda operation that says, I've done enough. I've gone along with the lunacy around the wall. Now he's doing something authoritarian in nature, usurping the power of Congress. I've done enough for this guy. This seems to me that if there's anybody left with a conscience in the right-wing propaganda operation, this is your moment to get off the Titanic, folks.
And yet, I predict we're going to end up seeing them double and triple down.
You have 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A Japanese newspaper reported that Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe nominated Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize last autumn after receiving a request from the U.S. government to do so, which is especially embarrassing given that on Friday, Trump bragged about the fact that Abe had nominated him for the Nobel Prize and claimed he had no idea he was about to do that.
Prime Minister Abe of Japan gave me the most beautiful copy of a letter that he sent to the people who give out a thing called the Nobel Prize. He said, I have nominated you, or respectfully, on behalf of Japan, I am asking them to give you the Nobel Peace Prize. I said, thank you.
Oh, really? You said thank you? Did you also bribe him? Here you go, Shinzo. This is for one free omelet.
A Japanese newspaper reported that Shinzo Abe did so at the request of the White House. When asked about that reporting this morning, Abe said, quote, I am not saying it's not true.
We interrupt our regularly scheduled programming to bring you this important message.
Bong, bong, bing, bing, bong, bong, bing, bing.
This is a test of President Trump's national emergency broadcasting system. This is only a test. Caravan, supercars,
prayer blankets.
This has been a test of President Trump's national emergency broadcasting system.
If this had been an actual emergency, the attention signal you've just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions. This concludes this test of the emergency system.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.